Cowboys.com.
Good morning, everyone. And happy Valentine's Day. We wanted to, well, that was just funny and fun, but a little bit relevant this morning. As you know, we've been in a series in 1 Peter, right? We've been doing that for a while now. And we're coming to a segment of 1 Peter that talks about relationships. And so being that, one, it was Valentine's Day, and two, it was a great opportunity to do it, we wanted to, I wanted to kind of circle around or use it as a launch point for talking about relationships. It's a pretty significant thing. And so we're going to branch off and do that for a few weeks here, for the next 3 weeks. So this morning's like the first part of a little mini-series within 1 Peter, talking about a closer look at relationships. Closer look at relationships. So when I when I was preparing for this week, I Googled the word relationships, and there were a bunch of articles that came up. Just one word, relationships, and here's what I got. An article that said, 9 goals all couples should have. Another one that said, 10 goals that will make your love stronger. Another one that said, 12 goals that make your partnership stronger. So even though I had typed the word relationships, all of these links were like about romance. Right? So right off the bat, I saw a problem, well, two problems actually. And the first problem was this, like we automatically link relationships and romance kind of from a connotation standpoint. Like, it just has that connotation to it. Like, I'm sure maybe even as you heard about us, like, starting a little mini-series on relationships, that was the first thing you thought of, was, oh, it's about love and love and romance. And, you know, that might have worked for you. Like, maybe you were excited about it. Maybe the married couples were going, oh, great, we get to talk about our marriage. And all the single people were going, oh, great, we got to talk about marriage, right? Listening about other people's marriages and so forth. And, you know, there will be some of that. We'll kind of touch on that a bit this morning. But overall, in the next couple of weeks, I really wanted this series to focus on relationships, not romance. Okay? So a relationship is simply the way that two or more people are connected to one another. Right? Two or more people are connected to one another in different ways. There's all different kinds of relationships. We know this. No two relationships are exactly the same. You don't have the same kind of relationship with your dad that you do with your child. You don't have the same kind of relationship that you do with a coworker as you do with a total stranger. You don't have the same relationship with your spouse that you do with your best friend. Now, I know all of you who are married are going to say, wait a second, Eric, my spouse is my best friend. Fine, whatever. I'll just give you that one, all right? You don't have the same relationship with your spouse as you do your second best friend, okay? Just go there. So anyway, I just wanted this series to speak to everyone in every situation, right? Not just to love relationships. So that was my first problem when I was reading these lists. The second problem was, maybe it's more personal, but how many goals can someone pursue? Right? 9 goals, 10 goals, 12 goals. You know, even if I'm talking about my relationship with my wife, who I love, I can't handle that many goals at once. Right? That seemed like a lot of goals to me. And these were some of the shorter lists, which is probably why they came to the top. Right? The other ones, there were a couple after that. 28 real relationship goals you actually want. 31 relationship goals couples can use to grow their love. Like one for every ice cream flavor, right? So even if, and here's the thing, even if you hit all of those, would that be enough? Like what if you did them all, but on that list was missing something that was, you know, really important, okay? So for the sake of the guys in our church, and if that's a little too stereotypical for you, then let me just say it a different way. For the sake of those who are like me and can't handle that many goals, I wanted to keep it simple, like really simple, right? I want us to focus on the most important goal for us. And I want it to be something that works for all of our relationships. So one goal, for all relationships, except for that one, apparently. Let's see if pushing a button helps for all the people at home. Maybe not. All right, sorry about that. We lost it somewhere along the line. So one goal for all relationships. Now, I think that there's, do you want to take a look at that, Bob? I don't know what happened. Maybe something got unplugged there or kicked. I think that when you look at what we've covered in 1 Peter, there's something that helps us get to that or get there and see that. And so I'm just going to start out right off the bat with what that one goal is. And it's probably going to sound familiar. It's to proclaim God's excellencies. Right? Proclaim God's excellencies. Right? Now, we probably remember that. Woo. Bob fixed it, but he's breaking things at the same time. Offsite, he just about knocked over all the lights over there. So anyway, thank you, Bob. All right, so anyway, reel it back in. So one goal for all relationships to proclaim God's excellencies, right? The one goal we should have for all relationships should be to proclaim the excellencies of God. Now, again, you probably remember that from chapter 2 of 1 Peter, and it would be easy to remember because I've repeated it just about every week since. I think it's an overarching idea that kind of carries into the next bunch of things that Peter talks about. So, but just by way of recap, 1 Peter 2:5 says we're living stones being built up into a spiritual house. And 1 Peter 2:9 says that we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession. Why? So that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Right? So we're called to proclaim his excellencies. That's what we're called to do. It's who we're called to be. So we need to be doing that in every one of our relationships, right? So one goal for all relationships to proclaim God's excellencies. Now, I don't know about where you're at with it, but I don't stop and think about that very often, right? Like in all of my relationships, I don't look at individuals in my life and think, how can I be sure I'm proclaiming the excellencies of God in my relationship with this person and that person and that person? And like most of the time, it seems like those relationships get put on cruise control or autopilot, right? But over the next few weeks, my hope is that as we explore different types of relationships, that we will look at them through this lens of what do they look like if we're proclaiming the excellencies of God in these areas. So we're going to look at 6 different categories. The first one will be love and marriage. We'll do that in a moment. We'll look at singles relationships. We'll look at family relationships that we'll also touch on today. We'll look at relationships with our neighbors and coworkers, relationships with our faith community, and relationships with strangers and acquaintances, right? And just we're asking ourselves, how do these areas of relationships look when we see them as opportunities to proclaim God's excellencies in them and through them? So that's where we're headed over the next couple of weeks. As we do that, will you pray with me as we dive in this morning? Father God, we pray that when it comes to our relationships, regardless of what kind it is, that we would be seeking to do this, that we would be seeking to proclaim your excellencies in them and through them. God, as we explore these this morning, pray you'd open our hearts and open our minds, open our spirits to what you have to say through your Holy Spirit. Pray that you would allow us to move toward our relationships looking like what you want them to. Where they don't, God, we pray that you would that you convict, we would take steps to bring them in line with your heart. And where they do, we pray we would celebrate that and continue to strengthen them in that way. So we want to commit this time in the next few weeks in our relationships in our life to you and ask that you help us to move towards proclaiming your excellencies in them in a deeper and stronger way. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so the first area we are going to look at this morning is love and marriage.
Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Try to separate them, it's an illusion. Try, and you will only come to this conclusion. Love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage.
In my head, was told not in the video.
Mother,
so, we'll just move on. Love and marriage. For those who are in a romantic relationship, and this has got to be a little bit broader than just love and just marriage, but dating, engaged, those can fall into this category as we talk about this, okay? If you are in a love relationship, love, dating, engaged, or marriage relationship, this is probably the most important human relationship in your life. Okay, you will most likely spend more time with this person than with anyone else in the world. So it's probably a good idea to get a clear picture of what that relationship should be. So we're going to consider, what does it look like to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus in your love and marriage relationships? Okay. Now, we can't just turn to the Bible on this one and open up like the love and marriage section. As you know, that's not the way it works. There isn't one that's just about that. So there are verses and principles that are laid out in Scripture that help paint a picture of what things should look like. We have to kind of put that together. So you're going to hear that. You're not going to hear a lot of references. It's kind of paraphrasing and summarizing, but there's a few that we will look at. So the first thing is want to consider, like, when we're in a love and marriage type relationship, there's a path. There's a path that you would take in order to see that relationship look like what Jesus would have it look like. And so I'd like to suggest an order of things that I think is in line with the heart of God and is in line with Scripture. Now, again, it's not spelled out for us in Scripture this way, so you can't say, well, open up your Bible and tell me where it looks like this. And I would say, look, unless you want to go back to, like, arranged marriages, we can do that, and then we'll get a pretty good picture of how it's supposed to look. But I can confidently say that these steps are in line, at least, with the truth and heart of God and His Word. Okay, so you start with being single. And while that seems like an overstatement, we'll talk about that next week, while it seems like an overstatement, it's important that we get that right. Right? Like, if we can't be content being single, if we can't know who we are, if we can't know God well as a single person, getting married, jumping into a love relationship, it's not going to fix that. Right? It starts with us knowing who we are in Christ first and learning that. So you got to be single in the right way. And again, we'll talk a little bit about that next week. But then comes dating, right? Dating should be intentional, not casual, right? Like, I share this with my girls all the time. Like, look, if you know someone's not the right person from the start and that this is not who God would have you be with from the start, then what's the point? What's the point? It only sets you up either for a relationship that God doesn't intend or for heartbreak in the end. Right? So dating should be intentional, not just casual. Then comes engagement, which leads to marriage. Right? Now, notice I didn't say anywhere in there where being in love or love itself fall. Right? I'm not going to tell you where that happens. Being in love is a feeling. Being in love can happen anywhere along the line. But being in love is not the same as loving someone. Right? Being in love is a feeling. Love, we understand, is a commitment. So if love is a commitment, then I would like to suggest this. Marriage is where that commitment begins to be fully realized. I mean, think about it. Dating someone is not commitment. Not really. Saying I love you, that's not commitment. That's just words. Being engaged is not even commitment. I mean, you know how many engagements don't make it down the aisle? I don't know either, but I do know a lot of people who that's been the case for, right? So being engaged, that's not commitment. That's only telling someone you intend to commit to them. Marriage is where the commitment really starts. Okay? Marriage is where you're first meant to live together, that your lives become one. Marriage is when physical intimacy is supposed to join the party. Marriage is also where children are supposed to enter the picture, if that's the plan, right? Not before then. Whether you have children or not, that's like the order. Single, dating, engaged, married, which involves living together, physical intimacy, and children. And here's the thing, even when you have taken all those steps in the right order, it's not like you've arrived in your relationship. It's not like then, all of a sudden, okay, well, we got the kids, so I guess we're done, right? Because that commitment that you made is supposed to last a lifetime. That's God's ideal, because divorce, that's not part of God's ideal or his design. So I guess you could say this, it's single, dating, engaged, married, living together, physical intimacy, children, death, right? Like, that's the flow. That's the order. Now, as I say that a little bit jokingly, but look, we understand that things happen, but I think a lot of people don't take the process all that seriously these days. Like, too many people say they acknowledge Jesus as Lord, but they don't give him control of the arc of their relationship. Their love relationship, right? If the goal is to proclaim God's marriage in our love and marriage relationships, then that arc of that relationship should be a pretty important thing. Okay? Now, another important thing. A love or marriage relationship that proclaims God's excellencies brings together two individuals who love Jesus more than anyone else. Right? Now I'm not saying that people don't get married who aren't followers of Christ. But as a follower of Jesus, you're called to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? First and foremost. That's the greatest command in all of the scriptures, Jesus says. And scripture is pretty clear that as followers of Jesus, you're not meant to be unequally yoked, as the Bible says it. You're not supposed to connect and commit to somebody who is not on the same page as you in regards to your faith and following Jesus. You're called to share your life with someone who loves Jesus like you do. So that's kind of an appropriate relationship aspect that we should be striving for in our love relationships. Right? We're going to kind of weave it back into the passage in 1 Peter here that we've come to. Yes, sometimes two people do marry one another as unbelievers, right? And later on, one or both of them come to know Jesus, hopefully both. But one might. And Peter kind of gives some instructions here for that situation, okay? So 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2. Peter's been talking about submitting or being subject when it comes to certain authorities in our life, right? We're to submit to them, even though we are free in Christ. We like submit because it reflects our submission to Christ, first of all. Second, it may lead them to Jesus. And third, even if it doesn't convince them or lead them to Jesus, our good conduct will put to the accusations of those who come against us to shame when they're face to face with Jesus. Okay, so then in regards to marriage relationships, Peter writes this, verse 1, chapter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Okay? So, if you want to win your non-believing husband over to Jesus, and in general, if you want to have the right posture toward your husband in marriage, submitting to him is a reflection of your submission to Jesus. Right? Now, it means don't fight and argue and belittle. Right? That won't win him over. There's other things he gets to in a moment. Now, I want to say don't be too hung up on the word submit here. Especially women, as you're hearing that, wives, it's probably one of those things that's like, yeah, that kind of grinds, right? And you may be thinking, well, why do wives have to submit to husbands, but husbands don't have to submit to their wives? And the answer to that question is they do. They do. Right? Verse 7, we'll get to in a moment, it addresses husbands and starts with the word likewise. Right? Likewise means in the same manner, similarly, and equally, which implies, even though it's not stated, that husbands are to submit too. Now, even if you're not buying that argument, when Paul wrote about husbands and wives in Ephesians 5:21, before he even started talking about any of that, he said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right? Everyone is submitting to each other. Submitting is not just a wife thing. It's an everybody thing, right? So husbands are to submit to wives too. Anyway, back to 1 Peter. So likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Right? So he's saying, look, submit to your husbands. If they don't know the word, they're not obeying the word. Don't be someone who is superficial and vain either. Let your good works and inner beauty win the day. Now, husbands, he says, likewise, verse 7, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. It's always fun when you read things in Scripture that are like, oh boy. That's fighting words, isn't it? Weaker vessel, submit to your husbands. Look, we'll get to that. He says, live with your wives in an understanding way. In your marriage relationship, you need to know, husbands, you need to know and understand your wife. That's a high calling. That's a hard thing to do. Most of us guys would probably say, that's impossible, right? And we just cling to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can learn to understand my wife. It's hard, but live in an understanding way toward her. That's something we're supposed to do with compassion and care. Those very deep waters of your wife's heart and soul and mind are things you're supposed to seek to understand. What a cool picture. I mean, you're supposed to treat them with compassion and care. That's how Jesus treats us, right? What a great picture. Now, it says, show her honor as the weaker vessel. He says weaker, not lesser. He says weaker, not inferior. He says weaker, not unimportant, right? By being the weaker vessel, it has to do with physical status, but also social status as well in those days, right? There are physical differences. This was not the era of like women soldiers and MMA fighters, right? Like there are women these days who could kick many of our guys' butts, in a physical battle. But in generally, men are still the physically stronger of the two sexes. Also, this was not the era of women's liberty and independence. It just wasn't happening those days. In a cultural environment where women were pretty low on the social status totem pole and treated like property, right? Peter is actually calling believers to a higher calling. He's calling them to something different and better and more representative of God's heart. It could actually be said that Scripture was pretty progressive and countercultural in this, right? Way ahead of its time. So Peter says, recognize this about your wife and treat her with understanding and honor, okay? So here's, this is that picture. All right, now, kind of keep moving here. A marriage that proclaims the excellencies of God is one built on love and respect. Again, these are sort of summaries of biblical principles that we see, but a marriage that proclaims the excellencies of God is one built on love and respect. It recognizes that the greater need for most wives is love, and the greater need for most husbands is respect. A biblical model, a way to proclaim Christ in your love and marriage relationships, that kind of relationship is one where both of you are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's one that seeks to resolve conflict genuinely and quickly, or as the Bible says, before the sun goes down. It's one that acknowledges our wrongdoings and asks for forgiveness. It's one that also extends forgiveness to the other person willingly. It's one that honors the truth and stays faithful to the vows you made, and let your yeses be yes and your noes be no. It's one that doesn't quit or run to another lover when things get rough. It's one that puts the other person's needs above your own and seeks to protect that love relationship from anything or anyone that can tear it apart. It's one that seeks unity of the heart, the mind, the body, and the spirit. It's one that works together for the benefit of one another and for the family. One that pursues God's dreams for your marriage and family. Now, so this is just a list. This is just scratching the surface. But there are a few ways that if we want our love and marriage relationships, including dating and being engaged, to proclaim God's excellencies, these are things we should be striving for. Right? This is the picture God's word has for us. Okay? So we're going to go on to the next one, which is singles relationship. We may have a video with audio, or we may not. We do. All right, so brief look at family relationships. What does it look like to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus in your family? Okay. Well, first of all, as a parent, you're called to raise up your children in the knowledge of Jesus. Right? That is a huge priority. And by the way, as I talk about family, I realize that some of these are going to talk about kids and parents and that sort of thing. That's not every family's dynamic. I understand that. But, you know, that's kind of covered in the love and marriage aspect of things. But so families, assuming that there are kids in the picture, right? As a parent, you're called to raise up your children in the knowledge of Jesus. Proverbs 22:6, you're probably familiar with, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Right? Like the idea is that we're to train up our kids. Our kids are going to see, are going to reflect ultimately what they see in us. Right? Like maybe not everything, but generally speaking, they're going to reflect in their lives what they see in us. So do they see you living out your faith? Is that what they see when they look at you as a parent? Do they see you opening your Bible? Do they see you on your knees in prayer? Do they see someone who tries to model godly values and morals? Because that's part of your calling as a parent. That's part of training up a child in the way they should go. It's interesting. Scripture gives fathers kind of a unique role or a unique challenge, right? Like Scripture says specifically, fathers, don't exasperate your kids, right? So are you encouraging your kids? Because that would be the opposite of exasperating them. Like, as a soccer coach, I see a lot of dads who are so into their kids' success in sports. And you see it in other areas, in music, drama, things like that too. They are so into the success of their kids, and they're on them for like every little mistake that they make. You can see it in the kids' faces. They are exasperated. Like they feel like they can never do it right. So fathers specifically, don't exasperate your kids. Nobody should exasperate their kids, but that can be a real challenge, I think, for us as guys. What about as children, right? Exodus 20, verse 12, again, one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Right, so this was something spoken to the people with a command with a promise attached to it. But honor your mother and father. That was the expectation. So as children, are you honoring your father and mother? And I know we're looking around. We're going, well, there's no kids in here. The kids are all downstairs at Sunday school, which is cool, kids' church. But this isn't just a Bible command for those who are kids under 18, right? If you have a parent or have ever had a parent, this is for you too. It's for me, right? Do we honor our parents by who we are in life? Do we honor them with our words and our actions regardless of our age? What about relationship with our brothers and sisters? Are we loving them like Jesus would have us love them? Now, here's one thing that's really weird about family, and I mention this just about every time we talk about relationships, but I think it's so important. Have you ever noticed how that in our families often get the worst of us? Right? It can be a healthy family dynamic. We get the sense of love and safety and security that we don't get anywhere else in the world. Like, it's a good place to have that feeling of security because we can let our guards down. We can be ourselves. We can be real. You know, we want that all the time for our girls. We've always wanted that for them. On the other hand, it's not good when we end up treating either our husband, our wife, our brothers, our sisters, our children, or our parents worse than we would a total stranger at the grocery store. Right? We have less restraint with them than we would with a total stranger sometimes. For some reason, we don't hold back on lashing out toward them. Like, they get our worst attitudes, our meanest words, our most biting sarcasm, and our greatest stubbornness. It's like we forget to be kind. We forget to be civil. So somehow the ones we love the most, or at least are supposed to love the most, we treat the worst. It's almost like we take for granted the fact that they're family and they're going to love us forever. Right? We're always family no matter what. We just assume they'll automatically forgive us when we hurt them or blow up on them or ignore them. That's not how we should operate, though. Treat each other kindly. Treat each other with love. Treat each other with respect. Treat each other with gentleness. Right? Do these things if you want to proclaim the excellencies of God in your family relationships. So we're going to stop with these two specific things this week. Love and marriage relationships, family relationships. We'll look at a couple more next week. But I will say this, that these are two of the areas that are probably the most significant relationships in our life that we're ever going to have. We need to make sure we are not on cruise control in these relationships. We need to make sure we're not flying on autopilot. We have to have the right perspective. Be sure that God's ultimate goal for these relationships, to proclaim his excellencies in them, that's what we're shooting for. Right? So tap the button, hit the cruise control to off, and take control of the car. Right? Grab the, is it a wheel or a stick? I don't fly planes, right? But, you know, take it off of autopilot. That's what we want to be doing, and intentionally looking at our relationships to see, does it really look like Jesus? Does it really look like Jesus? Because if it does, then our marriage relationship, our love relationship, our dating relationship, and our family relationships, they're going to proclaim God's excellencies to the people in them and to the people around us. All right? Let's wrap up this morning in prayer, and we've got a song as we close. The worship team can come on up. Heavenly Father, thank you for the relationships that we do have. The different dynamics that are taking place in our lives. Specifically, we thank you for family relationships and love and marriage relationships this morning. We ask that we would be mindful of them, that we would work towards seeing them be reflections of your heart. Because as we do that, it will begin to proclaim the excellencies of you who called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. God, where we come up short, where we have missed the mark, we want to acknowledge that to you this morning. And want to ask that you give us the strength to do what we need to turn things in the right direction. To move towards more of what you long for us in these relationships. We know that may be some bold steps we need to take, or may be some minor course corrections, but either way, we ask for you to pierce our hearts, to put a longing on our hearts for relationships that reflect you. So, Father, in what steps we need to take, we pray that you would give us wisdom and insight, and that we would keep you on the forefront of each relationship in our life moving forward. We want to lift this before you today. We want to acknowledge that you are a God who is worthy of being exalted and magnified and lifted up, and we ask for you to help us move towards proclaiming your excellencies in our love and marriage and family relationships. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.